coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
America at war. Day one, maybe? No. Obviously, we've been at war from within and without since January of 2021. That's my belief. That's everything that we're seeing today is really the consequence of events of this intentional internal coup of the United States. Folks, it's very serious. We are right now on the precipice of a global war, global financial meltdown. We'll be talking about that in the next segment, because, you know, there's got to be a way. And I've often struggled with this, okay, because I'm not a big Wall Street. I don't have any investments, okay, any significant investments. I don't play in that realm. Okay. However, there are some people, just because I don't, that doesn't mean others don't either. I mean, there are some people that do. So, you know, the question is, how do you fight or play at that level and become successful? We're going to be addressing that. But more importantly right now is we are at war, and people have to, I think at this moment in time, have to reconcile themselves with that idea. Again, it's a civil war. It's a revolt. It's a hybrid. The civil war, revolt, and also fending off our external enemies. But who is leading? Who's leading? Do we have any leadership in Washington, D.C.? Do we have any leadership at the executive level? It doesn't seem that way. Today is Tuesday, August 6, 2024. I'm Doug Hagman. Welcome to the Hagman Report. I do hope and pray that you get a lot out of this episode, this platform, and share this with your friends, family, coworkers, whatever, neighbors. And also, please follow us on the social, on the various social network platforms, if you so desire. If not, hey, it's okay with me. Everything is listed in the program. All the links are listed in the program description box. The social links on the Rumble, Brighteon, also the audio podcast platform of your choice. Links are there. And please follow us on Rumble. I ask you to do that. So we learned today, obviously, that Kamala Mattressback Harris has selected Minnesota Governor Tim Let It Burn Walz as the communist VP. There it is. The Conservative Treehouse does a very, very good profile of Walz. And now the link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. You know, I looked at this, and let me look at this a little bit. Well, we'll do it together. How's that? When I heard this announcement, I thought, first of all, who cares? Because this is what we're seeing, really, is all a show, isn't it? We're watching a television show play out where we are the cameos. We're the bit players. Have we been relegated to observer status at this point? Perhaps. You know, there is there are things that we should be doing, that we could be doing, but we're not doing. And a lot of people have abandoned all hope of any normalcy with respect to the United States. And I'm just telling you like it is. Because it seems as though, you know, working within the system doesn't work. Now, in terms of the economy, because we saw a pretty rough day and maybe the opening salvo of some economic woes yesterday. I'll be getting into that momentarily. But is there any way for us, and this is me from an investigative standpoint, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, is there any way for us to keep up with and even perhaps overcome inflation or whatever, the taxes, the where we find ourselves today. I want to know those answers. And if there is a way, I certainly want to point you, and I want to get involved in that as well. So, but again, we're going to put a pin in that for a minute. I want to open with this or provide you with this segment here. You saw, of course, Harris's Mattress Back Harris, her selection of Tim Walz, Let It Burn Walz, as her nominee. Now, the bigger picture here is that ticket, the left, has successfully overthrown our system of government. There's no other way to put this. You have an unelected, no one voted for Harris. No, she was elevated to the presumptive nominee on the leftist ticket. No shots were fired. No votes were cast, but no shots were fired. And today we find ourselves in a position where we have no leadership in the White House. You've got this cacophonic, unburdened by what has been. Eric the Tech, I mean, yeah. And did you, by
black,
the way.
Blackface Kamala.
Yeah, man. And she's not even, look, she's not black. She's not black.
Hence, Blackface Kamala.
Thank you. Did you happen to see Eric the Tech? By the way, man, I get a lot of emails. People love you. You know, I don't want to, hey, and I'm not sure I had to explode, but people love you and they want you to interact more.
I'm a mystery man.
You are. You're Batman. But did you see her talking about the cloud? Did you see that clip?
Oh. No.
Look, I am.
Like an actual cloud?
No. I'm talking about her attempting to explain the cloud.
Like storage?
Yeah. Cloud storage. Which, man, I can tell you this. I am not keen on this electronic stuff. All right? You give me a car. For example, I don't know if I shared this with anyone. My grandson's fifth birthday was, Joe's child, was Saturday. And so my stepson has this newer car. I don't know. It's a newer car. And asked me to drive it to the venue. If I said this, I apologize. But he handed me this key fob. I don't know, key fob. Because I asked for the keys. So he hands me this key fob thing. So I got in the car. First of all, as I approached the vehicle, it was starting to make noises. Like, you know. I guess the mirrors kind of, I don't know.
So then you got the bike out of the garage.
Well, I sat down in the car and I'm looking for, okay, you don't put your key in the car. But I'm looking for like, okay, how do I start this thing? So I'm like 5 minutes trying to figure out how to start this frigging car. And then I see this button down by the gear shift. Okay, so I press that, you know, I did successfully start the car. But then, so there's a gear shift, but there's no, you know how you have park and reverse and neutral and drive? I mean, it's not that hard. So I'm looking at this thing, I'm thinking, how the hell do I even put this in reverse? And I'm kind of reefing on the stick and it's not moving. And then there's a button to release a stick. And then, but then there's no park. There's no park in this. There's no P for park. I was able, after, again, now it's about 10 minutes into the process. So, and this is my stupidity. I realize that. And so I parked at the venue. And I'm looking for the park thing. And there's no P. I'm thinking, what the hell? So I just turned the thing off. And I sat there, you know, waiting for it to maybe coast back or forth. I don't know.
You have to log into the cloud to start your call.
Which, yeah, if you can find that clip of Harris, man, you got to see this, folks. Okay, you think I'm bad. Well, I mean, imagine if this was your job, okay? That's not my job. Give me a car with, you know, roll down windows, an ashtray, a cigarette lighter, and, you know, none of this bells, whistles. I don't want to be told what I'm doing. I don't want anyone looking at me. I don't want to be, you know, just give me a 71 Camaro, all right? That's...
Or Pinto.
Hey, I had one, and boy, that's a story in itself.
Lime green Pinto.
It was green. It was pea green Pinto. Back in 19, it was a 1971 Ford Pinto. That was my car. I think it was my first car. And I'll tell you what. You say what you want about Pintos, okay? I'm okay with that. Minus the, you know, the fuel tank explosion stuff. Yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. But anyway, more to the point, and I apologize for digressing, but the fact is, yeah, and you have to, look, you got to kind of smile once in a while. And yeah, the news is heavy. I got to tell you, the news is heavy. We're doing things that are just extremely, extremely heavy here as a platform. And with that, I ask you that you pray for us. But pray for our activities as we engage in a number of different things on different levels. The supporters know what I'm talking about. We discussed it in the supporters meeting. But anyway, if you can find that cloud thing, cloud clip from Kamala Harris, I don't even know how to describe what I saw. But if this is the leadership... You know, it's been, what, 2 weeks roughly since she announced or since she was positioned as a presumptive nominee and has not spoken in public? What's that? Oh, okay. All right. So there's a lot wrong with this, but more on that on the other side. But now, you know, again, with yesterday's news, and this is something that, follow along with me, folks. This is something that I really have issues with. The normal individual out there, the average guy, the average woman, that we're out there working our behinds off, right? We are. And we're trying to get ahead. But yet gas, you fill up your gas. I mean, it's $75, $80 to fill up your gas tank. And you go into the store. My wife, she came into the house, I think it was Saturday, after going shopping, and she said, you know, we are not going to be able to survive without another source of income. Now, look, and many people find themselves at that location. So we talk about the economy, but, you know, you and I, folks, we're at a disadvantage because the people who are making the money have ways to do it. So I'm looking for ways to even out that process, to even out the score. And I did find one. I found one. And I truly believe in this. And I've asked a gentleman by the name, and you've heard him before, Bob Kudla. I've asked him to come on with me and help you and I both enter into the system to the extent where we can actually prevail over the current economic crises, plural, that we see happening all across the globe. Okay. Now, what I'm talking about is generating some additional income. And, you know, you can do it. I found a way for you to do it. Bob Kudla, he's the guy behind TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Folks, you've got to go there. And I mean this, okay? I don't talk about anything I don't personally believe in or if I'm not personally involved, okay? I'm telling you right now, Trade Genius Academy, well, it's just genius. Yeah, I'm telling you, for the average person, like you and I, it's genius. And Bob is the founder and president of Trade Genius Academy. And before that, as you may know, he was the executive for two Fortune 500 companies in the financial services industry for a quarter of a century. He focused on business development, mergers and such. And he's been trading since 1991. And in 2008, Bob started his first trading service with a private group of friends. And from that, his popularity grew. So he decided to take it public and turn it into a business. And here we have Trade Genius in 2015. Bob's strength is he's able to see around the corners and position his trades into the right markets and sectors. Now, don't turn me off now. Don't turn this off now. I'm telling you right now. Because he's got a 65% overall win record in the market over the past 5 years. And here's how I look at this. If he knows what he's doing, and he does, and he's willing to help me and you get ahead of things by entering into this system, then yay us. I mean, yay us. It's good. So with what we've seen, Bob, I want to say thank you for offering the services, your services to the average person out there, including me. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for Trade Genius Academy and allowing, helping us to even the score. So with that, I've got a number of questions I want to hit you with, but what about yesterday? Is there anything that we should, any takeaways from yesterday, the market volatility and such, that our audience should know about? How you doing?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the call. First thing, I was a little worried. I was ready to sign off if you said you owned a Miata, but you saved yourself on that. but I want to be really serious for a second. So there are a couple trades out there that, if regardless of what the stock market does, you're going to make money. Okay. And I want to discuss those in detail today. Hey, it might be a commercial for Trade Genius, but I'll give you an example. We had a trade on that the market went up 10%. Okay. It was up 8%. Market went down 10% last month. It was up 4%. Okay. So this thing doesn't matter if the market's up or down. And it's paying a dividend of 5% a month, okay, which is 60% annualized. Okay, there's products out there that used to only be available for the institutions that are now available for retail. They started showing up about a year ago, and now there's more and more coming, and they've created a product that's, we called it, it's a long short, meaning that, and I'll give you an example. So Tesla is one of the products, okay? So Tesla, you know, goes up and goes down, but you can own a product that.
Hey, Bob, I think you muted yourself there accidentally. I'm not sure. No sound.
It says low bandwidth. Hold on.
Okay.
Is that better?
That's wonderful. Yep.
Anyway, it looks like a stock like Tesla or Coinbase or MicroStrategies or NVIDIA. And it doesn't matter if it goes up or down. What matters is how active the stock is in a range, and it pays a dividend on that. And you can then own it long and short in a pair, okay? And then you pick up the dividend. It's almost like being a broker. You don't care what the price of the house is. You're getting paid a monthly dividend check from this. And these things have been absolutely superb. And so, you know, this market is down 10% in the last 5 days, okay, or 6 days. And this particular investment's up 4.5% by doing nothing, absolutely nothing. And tomorrow it's going to pay a dividend of an annualized rate of 60%. And it's been paying dividends in the range of 35 to 60% every month. And so,
wow.
You know, my customers are absolutely over the moon with this. It's just amazing. And what I was worried about with these, the reason why I've been talking about them too much, I wanted to see how well they did in a rapid downturn, and they performed admirably. And now there's three of them out there that we can trade. And so what we do at Trade Genius is we help our clients find the most optimal ratio between the long and the short side, and for them to pick up the dividend. Okay. Man. And then if you're a more active trader, there's another trade you can do when the market has a meltdown like it did. is regarding shorting volatility. You don't have to worry about that word. It's just basically when the market has such fear in it, there's a trade that trades the snapback. And so that's now happening in the market. So if you want to trade with us, we can help you through this. You don't have to even be at your desk. Okay. You know, we monitor this thing and adjust it pretty much just monthly on these. And then if you want to be more active in the room, we have trades that we put on every day. But I guarantee you in 18 months, if you join me now, you're going to be really happy you did. Okay. Because this is going to avoid so much of the drama. And look, I moved $250,000 into these. And last month I picked up a $13,000 commission check, a dividend check.
Ooh.
Okay. So, you know, this is, these are really, really good. They're real. Okay. The guys that started this thing are the guys that developed the option strategies for TD Ameritrade. And then when you go long and short, you really don't care so much about what the price of the stock does because one offsets the other to a degree. And we just help with that average, you know, make sure that you have an optimal ratio to do it. So I encourage you to check us out and take advantage of our service because nobody else is doing this. You know, most people are afraid of these, and I want people to be afraid of these. I want to be the only one that's making this kind of money because people don't understand it, but we understand it completely, and we're pumped. I used to do this personally myself. It's a lot of work. Now that they created these ETFs, it makes it a lot easier for me to manage and for me to help my clients manage these positions.
You know, as you mentioned, you know, this might be a commercial for TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Look, folks, this is a way for you to get a leg up, even in the most dire of economic times, in my view. And what Bob has done for this audience, I think the majority of people aren't familiar with trading, but, you know, they want to make extra income. They need to make extra income. Hey, we do. And you've made it easy for beginners to get started. Now, you assist people when they come into Trade Genius Academy. You assist people, and I love your interface. The interface there is, if I can work it, I can't even drive a car, okay, but a modern car. But if I can work this, you can too. So, you assist them on multiple levels through Trade Genius Academy. Do you want to expand on that at all? Or,
yeah, I mean, it's really simple. So we have a trading service. You can call it an investing service too. You know, you don't have to be a day trader to use this. And so you get access to our algorithm, which we use to help optimize trades. And then we also put trades out there every day. You know, we did one yesterday in the bowels of the collapse. You know, we put somebody in a trade at $19. We put $23.50 as the stop out. And those people made 25% on their money in a market that was absolutely going bonkers. We put the same trade on again this morning at $20.74. We just closed it at $21.54. You know, and, another 80-cent gain. Okay, and that trade went from the market open till 10 minutes before I'm speaking to you. And if you just put 1,000 shares on that, you know, you'd have made $4,000 in the last 2 days, okay? So you don't, and you're not even investing a whole lot of money, and you could be in cash or you could be in bonds or whatever and just do that trade every day and then do the pair trades. And, you know, you don't have to stress this market. But that's what we do. And if you want personal coaching, we offer that. You can pay for coaching on top of it. But if you just want to get the signals, we put the signals out too every day. And every one of our trades we post, we keep a running spreadsheet so you can see, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But overall, you make money with us. And I don't like to overhype what we do, but I'm telling you, these pair trades are a game changer. Absolute game changer. If you do nothing else, you know, you can invest $300-$400 a year with us. In your first trade, you'll probably make five times that amount. You know, I mean, that's how confident we are at these trades. So just amazing. And you don't even be there. You know, you can just set these trades. Look, my brother-in-law does this stuff. He's traveling all the time. He checks it whenever the dividend check comes out. Okay.
Okay.
That's how uninvolved you can be with these trades. And then we just help you tweak the ratios every month. So, but But anyway, enough about us. I'd like you to trade with us. I'd like you to make some money with us. You know, we're different than anybody else out there, and we do things that most people don't do. And like I said, we don't oversell it, but you're going to do pretty well with us.
Okay.
But anyway, the macro, let me explain what's happening here. We're basically having the Japanese carry trade is blowing up. Okay, for the last 14 years, the Japanese have been selling their currency, and then that, and people have been investing that proceed into U.S. equities. All right, Japan now has to raise interest rates. So when they raise interest rates, the value of the yen goes up. So everybody who's been short the yen and long U.S. equities have to cover, have to close that short position on the yen, and they have to sell the equities because that's where they, how they have to raise the cash. So that's how we did it. So when Japan raised interest rates last week, we've had a six-day waterfall in the market. It seems to be stabilizing now, but that carry trade is over. Okay, you know, it's not going to be, the last 14 years you're not going to see again like it did. Okay, Japan can't afford to keep doing that to their currency because they can't afford to import, you know, with reduced currencies. So now the markets are going to get a lot harder for people to trade. The easy money is out of these trades. And so now we're getting that reset. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I think we're going to get a 1 or 2 week relief rally. And then we're going to go right back into the end of September with another big sell-off. And probably the September Fed meeting, you're going to see a rate cut. You hear a lot of people screaming for an emergency rate cut. Totally unnecessary. Would I like to have interest rates at zero? Of course I would. But with the way Powell's looking at things is that, you know, you got to get people out of the mindset of I'm going to bail you out every time, you know, you fall off your bike. And so he's trying to get the market a little bit more disciplined because he knows there's no easy money anymore. I think we could probably categorically, even though my partner disagrees with me, I don't think we're going to get a blow off top now. I think whatever rally we get is going to be less than the one we got in July. And then I think we're in an Alzheimer's market, the long, slow goodbye. I think through 2025 and 2026, I think you'll see the market generally drift lower with these episodic, you know, scare the children move like we had last week. So I'm encouraging everybody who would listen to me, customer or not, to start shifting into long bonds and start shifting into these pair trades and start raising cash. And the tech boom is over. Okay, that's where everybody piled in. That's where the Japanese piled in. And that's where the Swiss piled in. And they're going to be exiting those trades. Look at Warren Buffett, the smartest guy in the world, trading wise. He already exited half his Apple position, okay, as it was going up. Okay, we're not smarter than Warren Buffett in trading, so we should be following suit. So if you have speculative positions, you're getting your money professionally managed, you need to start having some hard conversation with your broker. You're going to get a lot of resistance because if you go to cash, they make less money, but you need to manage your own portfolio, okay? You need to be the master of your manner. Because they'll tell you every way since Sunday when you were down 30 or 40% that, you know, that nobody saw it coming. I'm telling you, it's coming, and people need to be aware of it. Hey, you know what? Maybe you give up 5% upside if I'm wrong, okay? But you're going to protect yourself from 30 or 40% downside if I'm right. And if you know anything about game theory, you take that bet all day long. Especially now that we have these programs that can work. When the market goes up and the market goes down, you know, you don't have to live in the land of trusting your broker that they're going to be looking out for your best interest, because all they look out for is for them not getting sued when this market sells off, because they're going to push a piece of paper in front of you saying that you want it low risk and nobody saw it coming and we beat the average. Okay. You're not going to be able to litigate against them. So that's all they really care about. After that, they care about getting fired. Okay, so, you know, this market's going to struggle first year of presidential cycle. Always happens. I don't care if Trump wins. I don't care if Kamala wins. It's going to struggle, okay, because, you know, the first year of a presidential cycle is when the politicians do all the hard things, and it causes issues with the stock market. And then they want to get reelected in 2026, so they'll start doing all the things that will juice the market. But 2025 is going to be a down year.
Wow. That you said a lot in a very condensed time period. And I think a lot of people are looking, they understand what you said, and I understand what you said. So we're not necessarily right now in new, we've seen this before, at least the pattern, maybe not the depths and the rise and fall, but we've seen the pattern before. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, but it's the same but different. You know, everything rhymes, right? So I think this market is a 1970s market.
Ah.
You know, we're running at end of an era, right? So, you know, in the 70s, it was Saudi Arabia that kind of blew up our markets by raising oil prices because of Nixon getting us off the gold standard. This time it's Iran, okay? And we've run ourselves into the ground globally with debt. But if you notice, energy is holding up because of geopolitical concerns. So I think we're going to see, after these sell-offs, you're going to see a rotation most likely into energy and then into the precious metals. But you're going to see massive rotation out of tech. Overall indexes are going to fall. So it's the 70s over again. Market went down 40-some percent in the 70s, while oil and gold went up, you know, 300-400%. And I think that's what's going to happen here, but it's going to be lumpy. You know, if you have the time horizon, you can go 2 years out, you can put that trade on now, you know, and you'll be scared about 10 times in that time frame. Or you can now go to cash, let some of the selling happen, and then start adding back to that position. The only thing I have is I have a large energy position because I don't think the Iranians are going to be able to resist. You know, it's the mindset of that part of the world that every slight has to be redeemed, and they're going to do something. And then I think Israel is feeling existential threat to their existence. And I think they're going to do to Iran what they did to Yemen. Remember, you know, the Houthis killed one Israelis, and the Israelis basically took out 60% of the oil storage facilities in Yemen. Okay, essentially crippling that country. You know, there's one island in Iran, Karg Island. If they hit that, they cripple Iran's ability to export oil and their ability to import cash. You know, and the Iranians know that, but they still may not be able to help themselves. And I think Israel is feeling at this point that they have nothing to lose, because if Iran gets the bomb, right, then the whole world has changed. And I think so you have to be elevated there. And I think, you know, Iran may do something short of that. They may maybe pump a missile into Saudi Arabia oil fields, right? You know, or they may shoot missiles at the oil gas terminals in Iran or whatever, you know. And I think energy is going to get a big pop. So, you know, my personal hedging is I have energy. You know, I'm in these pair of trades. I'm in cash, and I'm in the long bond TLT. TLT has been up 12% already from its lows, and has another 30% to go as the Fed lowers interest rates. So that's kind of how I see the world. It looks a lot like the 70s to me. I just hope it doesn't sprinkle into 1929 into it because of all the leverage in the system.
Yeah, me too. And I'm somewhat embarrassed to say I do remember at least the mid to late 70s, you know, the financial turmoil and even into the 80s. So I understand what you're thinking. And I believe the real core of the audience listening right now, similar demographic, they've seen that as well, like I have. But what really, with Trade Genius Academy, folks, what really, and I don't want to overhype this, but the one thing I'm looking for is somebody to not hold my hand, but guide me. I don't want anyone blowing smoke up my butt saying everything's going to be okay, but I do want somebody or somebody's to assist me in staying ahead of this market that we have. And I got to tell you, Trade Genius Academy, that's what they do. Bob, did I get this wrong? TradeGeniusAcademy.com or TradeGenius.com? I want to, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, so it's TradeGenius.co, TradeGeniusAcademy.com, or TradeLikeAGenius.com. Those are the, okay. They all come to the same place, but those are the, that's what the marketing team came up with. So on any of those three works, or you can just call us.
Okay. Yeah, that works too. I love the personal approach to this, and I love what you do. I know you're a busy guy, especially today and with everything going on. So you've got the final word. If there's anything that you want to cover, if I missed anything, please chime in. Otherwise, you know, I can let you bounce, but if you have any other insight on any other issues. And by the way, I thank you for covering the geopolitics of what we're seeing. It makes more sense to me now. So I appreciate that. But you've got
I probably said it already, but I would say look for a relief rally, okay, that doesn't make a new high. August into September, we're into the Fed meeting. It's going to be, I think, another sell-off. The Fed's likely to lower in September, which is going to provide some relief on the, you know, economic side. Not too much because people are still going to qualify for things, but then it's going to be a mind shift for the investor. You know, they're going to shift from stocks to bonds because you can make a lot of money in that environment. Once the Fed starts cutting, you know, bonds go up 30%, the market goes down 30%. So it doesn't take a trade genius to figure out where you want to put your money. Hey, and so that's what I would encourage people to do. And after that, really, it's going to depend on what happens with the election, you know, who wins. You know, obviously, if the Democrats win, you know, I'm going to set aside all the scariness that entails. but you're going to look at higher inflation because they're just going to pump money into the system because that's what Democrats do. If Trump gets in, you know, you're going to get inflation of a different sort because he's going to collapse international trade. You know, he's going to strengthen the dollar, but you're going to get wage inflation because money's going to move back and companies are going to move back into the United States and the unions are going to get a little bit more strength or labor is going to get more strength. You know, as a Rock Rib Republican, I think I'm okay with that because I think we shifted things so hard to the other side is that we hollowed out our country and we need to have some balance back. And I think that's the right strategy. Limit imports, raise wages, generate velocity, you know, internally and also to spread out where people are living. You know, too much of the wealth's on the coast. I think you're going to see it diffused back into the hinterlands, and we need to get a rebalance. And I think that's what's going to happen if Republicans get into power. And even if it's a divided government, there's a lot of things Trump will do that will drift us in that direction. So that's how I look at it. And you know, if I knew nothing else, I would say you'd rather have Trump win than Kamala, because I don't think we could survive. That's an Argentina move that they're going to do. Okay. And I think it'll destroy the country.
Wow. Well said. And that's why, folks, I respect and follow and listen to the advice of Bob Kudla, Trade Genius Academy, and the other links, of course. It'll be in the program description box below this video. But Bob, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I had an uncle, but I'll just add this. I had an uncle who was a stockbroker when I was in my 20s. So that's like 40 plus years ago. And I gave, at the time, it was a lot of money. I gave him $500. Invested $500 in the place he was working. And that lasted all of, like, I don't know, maybe a day. You know, and that was my uncle. He ended up drinking himself to death, but it's a horrible story. But this is different than your father's or those kinds of things. This is something where you can actually be guided through the process by guys like Bob. And Bob, I want to thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate your insight geopolitically, domestically, financial, and also what you do.
Thanks for having me, and you guys have a great one. I'll talk to you next month.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Bob Kudla, Trade Genius Academy. Folks, and I'm serious about this, and I was very serious about my uncle. Back then, you know, $500 was a lot of money. And, you know, we talked. He always had a drink in his hand. I remember this. He always had a drink in his hand. And that was the day. You know, that was like that time period. What was that? Mad Men, the ad agency series. That, you know, that's how things were done back then. And he couldn't give to. I mean, he didn't care. He made his commission. And, you know, I remember him. True story. I remember him saying, "Well, that's too bad, Dougie." First of all, don't ever call me that. You got that?
Dougie.
Yeah. "Well, that's too bad." I remember this like it was yesterday. "That's too bad, Dougie." And I thought, man, you know, like it was obscene. The whole process was obscene. It's strange. All right. Moving on. Sharing too much information, right? Yeah. So, obviously, as I started out with, we are at war. We are at war. Don't even think we're not. We are. You know, I have, and I respect this so much. I do. I have the ability to, I was granted the ability. I shouldn't say I have, but I was given the ability to be able to talk with people very in very important positions. This is not about me. This is about the ability of this platform to reach out and to find out what's happening behind the scenes, perhaps, and pass that information along to you. All right. Because we don't exploit that. We don't abuse that process. Just because you, for example, just because you've got somebody's cell phone number doesn't mean you have to text them or call them, okay, every time you think of it. So we're seeing a lot, and I'm getting a lot of information, some unsolicited, some I request, about this vacuum in Washington, D.C., and this is where that was leading to, this vacuum of power in Washington, D.C., and when you have this palpable, perceptible vacuum that we have right now, you've got a potato in the White House. And with my apologies to the tomato crop, you've got really a non-functioning executive branch. You've got to ask yourself, who is actually in power in the executive branch? Well, you've got a cabal of leftists. It's a cabal of communists that are in power. And for all of the, and I'm really getting tired of, allow me to go into this. I'm really getting tired of actually having double screens, watching the various, you know, open source news programs. And then on the other, the corporate, what the corporate talking points are, and this fake right left, and it, to a degree, it is fake because it's all the uniparty within the DC apparatus. The cover everyone's backside that's going on right now, while the trajectory of our country is downward, folks, I'm telling you right now, we are in, such a precarious spot, like you really don't know that already, right? Go to the grocery store, go to the fill up your tank, economic chaos. You've got global economic chaos. And then go into any city and you see this invasion. Michael Yon, a friend, he talks about, in fact, I think I re-exed it or reposted it on X, his assessment about the genocide that is about to take place in various countries, including the United States. And I'm not using that phrase or that term genocide. I'm saying there is a genocide about to take place in this country. Folks, I hope you understand this. And I hope you are prepared for what is coming. From the bottom of my heart, please listen to me. The left, but it's not just the left. It's the uniparty. But it's really spurned by the left. They want you dead. They want you out of the way. Unless they can use you as some slave labor. Oh, wait, we have that. They have that now. through the importation of these illegal criminal aliens. And I say every, and let me just say this, every person who is in this country illegally is a criminal. Stop pretending they're not. They're criminals. And then the worst criminals are killing American citizens. Look at the rise. Oh, wait, you can't look at it because the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Justice Department crime stats that we used to have. I used to be able to log on and get crime stats right down to the city, right down to the zip code. Can't do it anymore. Why? They're hiding the numbers. The illegal or the crimes done by the invaders is rising at an alarming rate. You've got stabbings, you've got carjackings, you've got robberies, assaults, rapes, kidnapping. Yes, even kidnapping. You've got cartel activity in every city, in every large city, at least in the U.S. And this is compliments of the Uniparty, but it's really the engine behind that is the communist left, open borders, no holds barred, come on in, and we will stress the system, the Cloward-Piven ideology. And if you folks look, I know there are new listeners and viewers, look up the Cloward-Piven strategy. I understand who these people were, the very people who schooled people like Clinton, both Hillary and Bill, and pretty much all of the left and many on the right. This is their strategy. This is their intent. Now, that's domestically. And as a matter of fact, we video 4 in the show notes. Folks, if you haven't seen this clip, this is worthy of your time. In fact, the entire episode, and you can check out the entire episode. Again, the link will be in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. But we are at war. We are about to lose our country. That's the title of this clip. And it runs for 2 minutes and 26 seconds. And I know a lot of people out there, a lot of broadcasters, refuse to play anything over 30 seconds or 45 seconds. In this long format, I like the entire drop of a video or of an interview to the extent possible. So you've got the complete picture as opposed to a soundbite. And I think that this is perhaps one of the most important things that we have to stress. We are at war. We are about to lose our country. That's how serious this is. Now, let's play clip 4. Here it is.
This is war. We're about to lose our country. And they're worrying about feelings. We cannot be worried about feelings. I believe that President Trump did the correct thing by addressing Governor Kemp for his weak and failed policies. Now, he's done some really good things, but he's also failed in terms of securing our elections. We still have some machines, some voting machines that have massive weaknesses and vulnerabilities. So we are afraid about the security of our election this coming November. I really believe that he did the right thing.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you know, while Trump did go after the establishment fraud deniers in our state, on the flip side, he took time during his remarks on Saturday to actually praise 3 of the board members on our state election board who are doing their best to fight fraud. Watch this.
I don't know if you've heard, but the Georgia State Election Board is in a very positive way. This is a very positive thing, Marjorie. They're on fire. They're doing a great job. 3 members, Janice Johnson, Rick Jeffries, and Janelle King, 3 people, are all pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. They're fighting.
Yeah, he definitely called them out by name, giving them praise. And there's been a lot of big news, as you know, coming out of the state election board here in Georgia, confirmed that Fulton County violated many, many election laws in 2020. It appointed a monitor to keep an eye on Fulton County in the upcoming election and really passed some key rule changes. So this board is listening to the grassroots, making some progress in fighting for election integrity. Real quickly, got about 30 seconds, Michael, total. What are you hearing about all of this? And do you think we're going to have a clean election here in Georgia?
All we can do at this point, Carolyn, is pray that Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp does the correct thing. We really need paper ballots. I saw a report that there were that all sides, Democrats and Republicans, are asking for paper ballots. Why is it so hard to not use election machines that are vulnerable, that people can, that's connected to the internet? I heard that when we had that crash a few days, what was it? Cloudflare? Was it Cloudflare that had the crash?
CrowdStrike
had the vulnerability that happened, the attack that happened on their service. And for some reason, those same machines in Arizona, they were.
Yeah, it ends rather abruptly, which is why I think the entirety of the interview, as well as that episode. And again, the link will be at HagmanPI.com. It's important to really catch. But did you catch the reference to Georgia? Now, what we saw in 2020, and just bear with me on this because it does fold into the bigger picture here. And I'm a big picture kind of guy, okay? I want to see, I really prefer talking about the big picture and then hitting the smaller elements of that big picture as we go through it. But the Georgia situation, I know that President Trump got a lot of flack for speaking out against Raffensperger and Kemp, and you know, oh my goodness, you know, it's a circular firing squad. And I watched the reaction on the MSDNC channel. I watched it on Fox, you know, so you didn't have to. But the thing is, what the intent is, it is to go back to the days of one day voting, paper ballots, and proper oversight. That's the intent. Okay, and if people are fighting that, why would you fight that? Voter ID as well. Why would you fight that? There's only really one reason you would fight that. And it's not a very good reason. You know, people talk about disenfranchising voters. Folks, look, the disenfranchised are the, to put it bluntly, the white American Christians who are being disenfranchised across the country. But that's why we have to hold these people to account. And for as much as I appreciate that interview, praying alone is not a strategy. And whether or not you like the individuals such as Mike Lindell, Sidney Powell, who is, both of them have been just smeared without mercy. I'm telling you right now, they've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, a lot of work with at the state levels. Again, you will hear, you know, release the Kraken. What a loon Sidney Powell is. Well, no. Read her book, License to Kill. I'm telling you, she is a smart attorney. She's a very smart individual, very intelligent. And Mike Lindell as well. These people are working without any kind of acknowledgement and working to fix, repair our system. Even more than members of the Trump team are. There's a lot of talk out there. And don't get me wrong, I like President Trump's approach, but it's got to be more than words, rallies, and, you know, kumbaya. Well, not kumbaya, but words and rallies and even mockery at some point. But we have to get back to the basics. And this is what we're fighting at. We are, again, reference what Natalie Winters says, we are at war. Or not Natalie Winters. We're at war. And we are about to lose our country. Now, there's a lot of things going on with attacks overseas. There are potential false flags, a lot of things going on domestically. Let me show you what I found. And this, of course, a friend, Alex Jones, talking about this particular video. You know, Jamie Raskin, he's a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous congressman. Extremely dangerous. He was on the January 6th committee. And he, if what his intent is, If it gains any traction, and please listen to this clip, if he gains any traction, what his intent is to bring us from the brink of civil war to actual shooting kinetic civil war in the United States. And that should frighten, or at least, no, that should concern everybody. These people want us to kill each other. And then after we're done with that, they'll come in and clean it up and kill the rest of us. And if you think that's a hyperbole, it's not. Look what the IC apparatus did with President Trump. And there's going to be more on that down the road. This is damn serious. Here's video six, cut six. This is Congressman Raskin publicly announcing his plan to overthrow the Supreme Court and also triggering civil war. And this should be, I don't know, a flag warning of what the plans are by the deep state, by the apparatus of the bureaucrats, by the administrators, whoever is right now filling in for Biden, those people, be it Obama, Soros, any elements of that club, this is, pay attention to this. And then we'll have that funny clip, by the way, that Eric found, Kamala, if you didn't see this, talking about the cloud. Oh my goodness. But let's stay on the serious note here. Listen to what Raskin is saying. He's not alone in this. And we better be paying attention. And we better start taking this stuff very seriously. And we better start brushing off, dusting off our weapons and ammo, and making sure we're stocked with food, and making sure we've got preparations made. I'm telling you, we're that close to something really popping off. But watch this.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means. And I'm glad that Sherrilyn's creating her new center so we can bring that.
He just said this on C-SPAN yesterday. I just learned about this 20 minutes ago. I could have done the whole show on this. They're telling you they're going to create civil war conditions and not let him be seated as the president. Everything they accused him of, they're now doing, showing their total desperation. This guy's father was a famous communist in the Soviet Union. He is admitting their plan. This is treason, Nick, out in the open. What do you say to this?
It is treason. It's a totally reckless and dangerous thing to say. And if there's any hint of truth to this, this is like a national, it's a grave national security concern. And I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that it could lead to a constitutional crisis. And a lot of people were wondering what happens if Trump wins, given what happened with January 6th and everything. The Democrats trying to lock him up and the Democrats trying to really get him on insurrection, although I don't think they could make those charges stick. And so the question is, well, what happens if he wins? Does he become the president? I don't think it's crazy to say that the Democrats would try something like this, where they try to create a constitutional crisis. And in the event that that happened, it's a call a revolution. I mean, it's a full on, you know, obviously the Stop the Steal campaign January 6th was not a coup attempt. We wanted to audit the election. We wanted to.
Yeah, he just said civil war conditions. He said, we're going to war with you.
Right, which is vastly different than what happened then. They're basically saying, we're going to bring the fight to the people. We're going to swap out the president, and then we're going to suppress and quell anybody that has a problem with it. So I think it's a very dangerous thing to say. And, you know, these people, I think it's the same reason why they wanted to kill Trump. I think that Trump represents to them an existential threat to a certain faction of the American elite. And it's like we talked about on the previous part, there are different parts of the elite. There's clearly a left-wing one. There's elements that support
and
the right-wing.
And this is a declaration of war, Nick. This is a declaration of war.
It is, yeah. This is this Cold War going hot. It's been a Cold War, and it's like we said, you know, they've tried everything against Trump, lawfare, investigation, slander. They took a shot. And then ultimately it's going to be, well, we're just outright doing a civil war. You know, that's
yeah,
the last
stage.
Yeah, he just
said we're planning a civil war. If he gets reelected, this is, if you or I said this, which we wouldn't, we'd be arrested. He's literally, and he's in government. He means it.
And there it is. Yeah. If you want to pause,
could you imagine if Maggie?
We're going to come back to this. Understand what Nick Fuentes is saying, what Alex is saying, and more importantly, understand what this congressional member of Congress, you know, one of 535, is saying. And that is, Trump can't be president. Now, if you follow that mindset, they want the, when I say they, I'm talking about the deep state and everything that comprises. They want their malleable, controllable element in the White House, in the executive branch. And once they have it, and remember, has this regime, the Biden regime, have they followed any of the Constitution? No, they've made the Constitution irrelevant. For example, you know, the Supreme Court, well, they said, look, you cannot forgive student loan debt. That's not your, you don't have that power to do so. So what did they do? They said, screw that. We're going to continue doing that. And of course, many people have supposedly benefited by that, right? And you think, well, man, that's a good deal. Well, no, it's not. It's a good deal for maybe those people who received that forgiveness, but what about you and I? What about the people who have paid their student loans? That's not fair to us. And where's that money coming from? That money's coming from you and I. The same that it's come, and folks, I know you've seen this, because this is all one big cauldron of crap. The very same people who are financing the bailouts of the student loan debtors, who are financing the illegal invasion, giving these invaders cash cards, and you've seen the videos out there. I'm sure you saw the video of I'm assuming you have. Of the woman in the grocery store who saw this receipt from an illegal in this country who had a cash card, a cash card, used the cash card for the purchase, left the receipt that showed the balance left on this cash card, and it was like $13,000 left remaining. Where's that money come from? It's created a thin air, but ultimately it comes from the labor, the sweat, the tears, even the blood from the American people. And we're not going to be, look, we're not going to be putting up with this much longer. So the talk of that civil war, understand that this is not just hyperbole. This is the plan. I don't know how else to make that clear. As well as the geopolitics of war. Now, Nick, we're going to be playing something else here by Nick Fuentes about the potential, and especially using Israel. People say, well, you know, you never talk about you never talk in a bad light about Israel. Well, Israel is as much part of the problem as the government. Current government of Israel is as much part of the deep state as is the current regime in the U.S. So I'm not giving anyone a pass. Not at all. But we also have to be, in my view anyway, we also have to be mindful of the Israel of the Bible, or more appropriately, the Jews of the Bible, the Christian Bible, and understand who they are and differentiate between the Jews of the Bible and the political Zionists who are in control of the apparatus, whether it be in Israel or the U.S. I hope I made sense on that. I don't know if I did, but we've got to use discernment. And in no way was that meant to be anti-Semitic. It was just, it's just, you've got to, you know, it's much like these sweeping statements. There was a guy that we had to take legal action against, who everyone is a satanic pedophile. I mean, everyone. You're a satanic pedophile. No. Some people are pedophiles. Some people, yes. That's their religion. But not everyone. You can't make sweeping statements like that. So, you know, as words matter, we have to avoid making such sweeping accusations and statements. So anyway, I just wanted to make that clear. Eric the Tech tells me we do have 25 seconds, I think, roughly, of Kamala Harris speaking about the cloud. Moving from your file cabinet, your files, you know, moving from your file cabinet now to your laptop, and then on to the cloud. Where's the cloud? What is the cloud? Does she even understand this? Well, watch this. This is the abbreviated version of the longer discussion, but it gets the point across as to what we are dealing with in this particular hollowed-out, mattress-backed individual, and, of course, this threat to our country. Here it is.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
Up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
It's no longer in a physical place.
Eric the Tech, you're a lot more computer savvy than I am. Let me just ask you this question. What the hell?
Why is she even talking about that?
I don't know. But there exists.
Oh, yeah, because she just rambles.
Yeah, yes. Well, she's unburdened by what has been. I make jokes about her being on Willie Brown's staff.
She's going to start levitating soon.
I'm telling you. But that's why, okay, I mean, as much as this is insane. I mean, you have insanity that is so pervasive right now. And I want to ask a question to everyone, because I'm sure everyone listening or watching today, you know, for example, you know someone who supports this, who supports the left, who subscribes to the fact that, hey, you know what? If Trump gets in, abortion is going to be illegal across the U.S. You won't be able to get it, even if you were raped by your father and stepbrother and brother and sister and, yeah, sister. You know, any other memeable, is that a word, memeable, talking point. But you have to ask yourself, who can really, with any degree of reasonable sensibilities, can actually support this? I mean, just that clip alone should send people running away from that. All right. But continuing on with the theme of this episode, the fact that we are we are really at war internally. Well, you know what? Even before that, to add into the mix that Nick Fuentes was talking about, I did on the same platform, band.video, Nick Fuentes, since I was talking about Israel, false flags and such, this has to be entered into the, we have to enter this into the conversation. Regardless of what you think about the current political climate in the U.S., we have to talk about this. Responsible adults have to talk about previous events and the false flags, whether it be the Gulf of Tonkin, whether it be, well, you can fill in the blank, but you know that there exist false flags. And I had a pretty interesting discussion with my wife last night. You know, I don't involve her with, I mean, we don't, she doesn't get involved with the program. Now, with the business, yes, but not the actual content of the program. And we were talking about false flags and, for example, the Kennedy assassination, specifically about that. And I said, you still don't, I mean, you don't, please tell me you don't believe that the JFK assassination was consistent with the reports of the Warren Commission. And, you know, it kind of surprised me to hear her response. It was more mainstream than it was, to me, the truth. And we had a great discussion about this. But if you really think about the people who surround you, can we influence the thinking, the ration, with rational conversation of others around us? And I think we can. If we open that dialogue, and if they're open to that dialogue, to avoid the war that Alex was talking about and Raskin so desperately wants. But we also have to enter into that conversation, the entire global aspect of the false flags that await us in the future. And yes, there will be. And this is a difficult conversation to have. This is a very sobering aspect of that larger conversation. So it's worthy, I believe, for you to listen to this and watch this and consider this for the coming days, because we're going to get gaslit. I'm telling you right now, we will get gaslit. And watch, this is Cut 5. This is Nick Fuentes, who you saw just moments ago with Alex Jones. This is Nick Fuentes on Israeli false flags and the 2024 election. Remember, everything pretty much hinges on this election. And as much as people disdain politics, we have to address this like reasonable, sensible adults and allow this into the conversation. That's my take on this. But here's Cut 5.
Last weekend, there was a major rocket attack on the Golan Heights, and Israel retaliated by blowing up the political leader of Hamas in Tehran, killed the commander of Hezbollah in Beirut. And so now everybody, all eyes are on what this retaliation will look like. The United States will have two aircraft carriers in the Strait of Hormuz, just off the coast of Iran, during or shortly after the strikes. The function of whether this conflict goes on longer and whether it goes wider is the commitment and involvement of the United States. The Biden administration has been very reluctant to get involved, and they, along with other liberal governments, it's just true, they have been trying to restrain Israel. And so I think that this is the go for broke. This is the once and for all war. This is how Israel sees it, where they're going to strike at the heart, which is Iran, and dismantle all of the proxies systematically. In order to do that, they need a total and unconditional and sustained commitment from the United States. And I think whenever that's required, it always involves false flags. I don't think I'm the only one with the idea in my head that something's going to blow up. There's going to be some kind of mass casualty incident. And in 24 hours, there'll be a media blitz. They'll know it's Hamas, it's Hezbollah, it's Iran. And that's going to be their pretext to get the United States involved. If the United States engages Iran, we have to recognize we'll be engaging Iran on many, many fronts. It's going to be a full-on regional conflict. I don't think people realize the scope of all of this, and especially the effect it'll have on the economy. What happens when all of the world's major oil producers are engaged in an all-out regional conflict? What happens when there's no trade going through the Strait of Hormuz or through the Red Sea? It would be a total economic meltdown. But the United States just needs to say no. Trump put out a message on Truth Social a week ago, and he said, well, if the reports are true and Iran tries to kill me, they should wipe Iran off the map. And that's like an invitation for John F. Kennedy. That's like an invitation for RFK, saying, hey, if I die, then Israel gets everything it always wanted. Okay, well, guess what's going to happen next? I think he needs to commit to not going to war in Iran. And I said at a turning point a few months ago, I've been saying it from the beginning, I'm uncommitted right now. But the thing that's going to get me to vote for Trump and turn out, I think it's true of a lot of people, and even a lot of people in Michigan who are unlikely Trump voters, we need to be confident that there will be no war in Iran. So he said in his first term, I started no new wars. I'd like to hear a strong commitment, no new wars in the second term. And I know, you know, for some reasons, it's not a good idea because you need to have some flexibility conducting a foreign policy. You need to, you know, people need to think you might be able to, but it's too hot right now. The American people need to know that we're not going to war in Iran, no matter what the false flag, no matter what happens in the ensuing days. We need to know this is going to be a president that's America first and keeps the troops out of the Middle East. I think that wins the election because in a lot of ways, the Trump rhetoric is getting further and further away from the America First message of 2016. I like to say in 2016, he ran as an independent. Now he's running as a Republican. And it went from trade, anti-war, and anti-immigration. Now it's something like cutting taxes, more war, and energy. Trump is still our last best chance, but it's really now, just like it was in 2017, a battle for the Trump administration. And I hate that it's this way. It shouldn't be this way. But once again, it's going to be the real Trump loyalists and the real America firsters that are going to have to fight inside the Trump administration and wrest control back from the neocons. And so I think that the path to global peace, it's a policy of American restraint. I think the only one that can even do it is Trump. But the only way to get Trump to do it is to fight a battle within his team and within his future administration. Because what was interesting is when Trump came to power, the world leaders actually kind of liked him. Like Kim Jong-un, who has every reason to be suspicious of and hate the United States, he actually thought Trump was kind of cool. And they were like hanging out. And I know people are skeptical of that, but it spoke to something. Trump represented to the world a breakthrough where now that you're getting the American people, instead of this blob, instead of this foreign policy, ultra-rich blob, Putin talked about that. Kim Jong-un recognized that. I think a lot of people recognize that. And now we've just been submerged back under the blob. So that's really the tension in the United States, because I think everybody recognizes the people are good, but it is these global elites who are more powerful than ever in tech, in finance, and so on. And I think they're bringing the world to a very sad, impoverished, dangerous place. And it has very little to do with the people of the world.
There you go. Okay. This is a hard conversation to have, difficult conversation to have, but it is so true, isn't it? Where you've got to recognize what has been and be unburdened by it. No, you've got to understand our past and how the neocon, in this case, I think that's very appropriate. The neocon warmongers, the Boltons of the world, and the Bushes, the Bush dynasty, you know, the people making money on the blood of innocents. We've got to recognize that Americans are getting tired of this, that we're sick of this. And it strikes me as, do I even have this? Yes, I do. If we can punch up video 3, this is so appropriate right now. How did we even get to this point? Well, you can go back to the days of Jimmy Carter and the Shah of Iran. Remember, Iran was a westernized country before Carter came in. None of this, what we're seeing today, it's not new. And I would say this, if there is any benefit to me being as old as I am, and if you want to know, just, I don't know, saw off my leg and count the rings. but or saw me in half and cut the ring. You know, the benefit of age, one would hope, is wisdom, but also is being able to look back and having lived through a certain time, lived through that time of, oh, the hostage crisis in Iran, the Carters, the stagflation, but also the foreign elements, including and especially Iran, the hostages, you know, 444 days. You remember that, the failed, perhaps, the failed rescue attempt, Desert One. And if you lived through that, okay, you have a better idea of where we're at today. So Nick Fuentes, as he said, look, he's not wrong. And I've talked to people who I know who are inside the orbit of Donald Trump and inside I don't want to call it a campaign, but that movement, who are really attempting to influence Donald Trump into sticking to the America First policies. This is what I'm hearing from people in the know, people close, people inside, that they're saying, wait a second, okay, statements like that, not the best thing to say for the American people. And, you know, go back to the basics, keep America first. That's what this is all about. Otherwise, we will have the Civil War. We will have a global conflict, a global war, World War III, as Donald Trump talks about. But how we got here, interestingly, unsurprisingly, this is cut three, 47 seconds. This is Ms. Coates, who was part of the Trump team, talking about Iran in the context of, well, what happened to make Iran such, or Iran, however you want to pronounce it, such a threat to the global scene? What happened? We funded it. We paid it. 47 seconds, cut three.
Some other group is trying to make it look like it's Iran to spark this wider conflict.
Always possible, but the PMF take their orders from the Iranians. And so I really don't see ISIS having the capability to do this. These are the Iranian-funded, equipped, and trained Iraqi militias. But the sick thing is, since we still give so much money to the government of Iraq, we are funding this. We are funding these people because they pay their salaries as part of the Iraqi military. So we're literally paying these people to attack us. That's where we are in this ridiculous through-the-looking-glass kind of scenario in the Middle East at this point. So it's very hard for me to see us making much progress under our current leadership.
And there it is. We have provided the cash. We have lifted sanctions. You okay? Eric the Tech, I don't know. You all right? I just heard a noise coming over from over there.
All good.
Oh, good. Boy, I'll tell you, if you could be in studio, some of the things, man. But this is so important for everyone to understand. It may seem complex. It may seem like, well, this is so, things are so disparate. You talk about, for example, the false flags. You talk about the potential for civil war. You talk about all of the different issues. Well, when you really look at this from a distance, they're all coming really from the same core group of people, entities, and they're all motivated. For example, who makes money in wars? It's the bankers, the weapons producers, and the people who have interest in them, the lobbyists who, the Congress, by way of the lobbyists who make the money, whose decisions are influenced by this external flow of money. Folks, it's not really that difficult. It really isn't. Just as really, it's not that difficult, for example, for us to go back to paper ballots, one day voting, and, you know, a simple hand count. It's not that hard. The fight against all of this is because of the special interests, the regime that's filling the vacuum. It's still a vacuum, but telling and guiding and influencing the decisions from the executive branch right now. It's that group that we have to fight against, that we have to get out. Let's continue with video six. This is Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes. To keep with the theme of the episode today, please, folks, understand how dire and how serious this is. Because right now we've got, do you realize that we've got more military age men from other countries in this country than we do have in the military? I mean, do you realize that the same entities who are paying these people are also paying to fund the various initiatives that are being employed to use against the American people, as well as the people of the UK, as well as the people of other free Western nations? Let's continue with video six.
Gates said that, because imagine if you or I, or even Trump, God forbid. I think the head of the Heritage Foundation said, oh, there's going to be a revolution. And they nearly drove him out of town. A sitting congressman says we're going to do a civil war. Nobody cares. You know, but that's the double standard that they have with law enforcement. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, the 14th Amendment, I don't think that would hold him back. I don't think that would stop the Democrats from trying, though.
Oh, the point is they think they're going to steal
proposition.
Yeah, they're saying they're going to try to steal Congress this election. And then, wow. Nick, thank you so much. People should follow you on X. Nick J. Fuentes, thank you so much. Amazing interview.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Let me see about you during the break. Then I'm going to come all back right with some.
You can watch the rest of that clip again, HagmanPI.com. Open up today's description box. But one last video, and this is kind of the topper. Like I mentioned before, how difficult would it be to go back to the basics with respect to our election? Because what Raskin is talking about is directly against the will of the people, and he's cultivating the ground. He's fertilizing the ground to create an internal, well, civil war. Bottom line, so at issue would be the theft of votes by way of the voting machines. Or, hey, people are saying, oh, my goodness, you realize that it's going to take for the results for Pennsylvania. It might be a week. We heard this before. It's not that hard. The last video, this is cut one. This is Natalie Winter on election integrity. Red flags to respond to intricate dark money groups, the very people I was talking about, the very people who are propelling this societal chaos, this, American against American, and the Raskins of the world. Here's cut one.
Posse, I want to be very clear. I know a lot of other conservative news programs and some, you know, not just Fox, but they're focusing every day trying to, you know, hammer Harris as super radical on the border, super radical on gender. And don't get me wrong, we will definitely inform you on that front. But I think it is important to state that here in the war room, we are only going to be giving you signal, not noise on Harris. And what I mean by that is that she as a person, as a candidate, I would argue is irrelevant to the system. In other words, like we talk about the financial plug and play elements of the Democratic Party, right? It could be anyone. The way that their financing system is set up doesn't really matter about the candidate. They have all these dark money groups. They control, obviously, the institutions, mainstream media. They can artificially pop up anyone they want. It's not actually about candidate quality. Look no further than the fact that Joe Biden is basically dead. He was a cadaver when he ran, hiding in the basement. But Kamala Harris, right, they could basically put anyone to fill her shoes, her horrible low heels, because they are controlling the election in infrastructure. And I'm the first, this show has been historically the first to, I think, raise the red flags that we are not where we need to be when it comes to election integrity, when it comes to election fraud, when it comes to the ability to push back when they start to roll out the very same tricks that they did in 2020. And make no mistake, they are trying to do that. Just last week, the Washington Post running the story, Pennsylvania presidential election results could again take days to count. AP running the story. State election directors fear the Postal Service can't handle expected crush of mail-in ballots. Day after day, you see story after story demeaning MAGA, coming after you guys, saying that we're making election workers step down and that that's going to cause delays in the election process. We already see these Zuckerberg-type groups rebranding and pumping in hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars into, of course, swing states and rural counties, right? This is part of a much broader problem that I don't think we solve by just dunking on Kamala, whether it's her horrific track record at the border or her radical policies on gender, because we're not actually running against
that. And again, folks, watch the entire clip. Same story, same people, different day, but the same results. So buckle up, buckle in, brace for impact, because it's coming. I'm telling you right now, it is coming. Not to scare you. No fear allowed here. But just being honest, folks, I hope you got the message. God bless. Thank you for tuning in.